שלום לכם, תודה שאתם איתנו כאן בחיי.
Hello, thank you for being with us here in the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Dr. Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. Hello, and hello to you as well. Today, we're inviting you to join us on a story that you all know in a new light. We want to look at it so we can learn about our life here today. The story is of the prophet Jonah. It's the story of all of us. We want to learn what the Bible wants to explain to us with all the parables in this story. And we want to see how, this is the most important part, we want to see how it will help us build our life here in Israel in a new manner. How to get closer to one another until we feel that we're all like one big family, that we'll have warmth, connection between us, so we can build love between us, that our children will be born into a world where they'll be happy and we'll feel safe, that everyone wants for their best. So be with us. The story of Jonah against the backdrop of the integral connection. So Nitza, open up this journey for us. So in a few words, let's go over the story. The prophet Jonah was asked by God to go to the city Nineveh, which was a capital, and announce to the citizens there that he said there's something's going to happen in the city. Because the citizens are treating each other very badly. He said there's going to be a calamity. They've lost their way. It's actually a robbing, all the bad things between a person and his friend. Chaos. And in a different manner, the prophet decides to escape from this mission. He goes to Jaffa at port, gets on a ship, and he wants to escape. He doesn't want to fill out this mission. The ship gets stuck in a serious storm in the sea. And there's a whole story there that we'll talk, we'll open up later on in the show with his brothers. But at the end of the day, there was no choice. They had to throw him into the sea so that the sea would calm down, the storm would go away, and he's swallowed by a fish for 3 days. He's inside the fish praying. And finally, at the end of the story, when he reaches the people of Nineveh and he tells them about the prophecy, and surprisingly, the people of Nineveh, they accept what he says, and they repent. So we're going to go over this whole process, and the first aspect we want to understand is the escape, getting away from his role, from his... We see many times in our lives, we know there's things we have to do that's clear to us, and it's clear we have a vocation, and we try to get away from it. It doesn't always help. It sort of chases us. Sometimes we get a few blows on the way. Why does it happen? Why from the beginning do we escape from a role, and why do we have to get blows to carry it out in the end? So the story of Jonah repeats itself. We need to understand that this whole story explains all of humanity on its way, that it's growing and developing through the ego, the evil inclination that's developing in us. And at the end of the day, we reach a state where it's no longer possible. There's no way to get out of it. There's no way. There's no way out. And truly, there has to be some foreign special leader here. And there's leaders in that city, but they're leaders that, the leaders of those people, that city especially, they're leaders that they're in accordance with that city. They're... they do everything through control, bribery, robbery. It's very similar to what's happening today, that humanity has reached no end, and there's no choice. We know that in cases like this, they can't get out of the situation that they've gotten into, that we got into, say, in our case. But there has to be a prophet, someone who knows the way of nature. The prophet is someone who, it says that he speaks with God, he sees God. There's prophets that speak, and there's prophets that hear, and then it says, Shamati, I heard, and there's prophets that say, I saw. So there's like this and like that, but still it's a person that sees the future, that sees what's coming, that understands the system of nature that we're in. And therefore, all these things for him are like an open map. And he sees what will happen if we continue and how we can get out of it, be saved from it. Of course, it's a person at a very high human level, internal development. He feels sad about our path, the path we're on, and he wants to save us. That's the prophet. And then, out of it being revealed to him and known what can happen, if everything continues as it is now, he reveals that he has, that there are two paths ahead. We can either escape from the role, from his vocation. He sees it's, he's possible of doing it, even though it's very, doesn't seem realistic that he'll go scream to everyone through the media that doesn't hear, or people that ridicule him. It doesn't matter what, but there's no choice and we have to do it. And then he tries. And then it is written through the story that if, at the end of the day, like what happened with Jonah, that if he reached it and truly carries out his vocation, then suddenly people hear. They hear, they feel and understand that he's saying something, that this is the only way to be saved from the breakage, from the death, from the chaos, and they repent. They begin to feel what he's saying, and all his fear was for nothing, and he carries out his mission. Now, what is the mission? What do these people really need to do? So we know that this whole process that we need to go through from the beginning of creation till the end is that humanity, even though it's developing through its ego that differentiates us, at the same time it needs to develop toward connection. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And in those words, we're expressing the generalness of nature. God in Gematria is nature. So what they need to do, they need to get into a connection between them in such a way that there won't be any border between themselves and nature, inanimate, animate, vegetative, carry out nature's laws in an instinctive matter. They have no bad, no good. An animal never makes mistakes, it is written. And humans are always making mistakes because what directs them, what they navigate according to, is their evil inclination. And therefore, everyone is a person's evil inclination. That's how it is every day and every moment in life. They're just doing bad to one another and altogether to nature. Therefore, our entire correction is to rise above our evil desire, and to attempt to do the opposite. How to do the opposite? To connect above desires, to control the people, to control others, Instead of control and greed and all those urges that distance us from one another, that each person is pushing to take advantage of others. And instead of that, to reach connection, according to the first law, don't do to your friend what you wouldn't want done to you. I can really check here very simply how to relate to my fellow man. If each time it's as if a piece of clothing that I measure in a store, does it suit me or not suit me? This is how I have to measure each time my deed, my thought toward my fellow man. Does it suit me or not? If this is how they'll relate to me. And this is a very simple verification. So checking how, don't do unto your friend as you wouldn't want done to you. This is how you check it. And the next stage in the connection between us is really connecting. Because the first stage was don't do unto your friend as you wouldn't want done to yourself. That's just a disconnection from your ego to reach the neutral place. Like I'm changing gears in the car. First I go into neutral and then I go into the next gear. Yeah, so it's the same thing here. I go from my ego to don't do to your friend as you wouldn't want done to you. That's neutral. I'm not doing good or bad to my friend. The friend is anyone in the world. And afterward, I go into the next gear where I'm approaching the connection. And that's in the form of love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the deed itself. That I also verify on myself. Am I enjoying it? If this is done to me or not. And so it turns out that a person is just, that a person according to what he has, according to his evil inclination, he can check how to build the good inclination above his evil inclination. If with my evil inclination I'm verifying, don't do to your friend what you wouldn't have done to yourself, the way you maintain yourself. And then I check on myself acts such as love thy neighbor as thyself. My ego is answering me. Suddenly I feel that my ego wasn't created for nothing, but it was created precisely because above it I'm prepared to check my good deeds. I just need to transform it. And I transform it and everything will be fine. This wisdom, this method, this trick, which is very simple, but it's psychological. Jonah, the prophet, has to come and teach the people, humanity, the people of Nineveh in this case. And this is called the integral education here. It's not simple. We need to truly attempt to do it until we bring it to people. But the main thing is not to be afraid that precisely Jonah, it's not for nothing that it's written, that we need to learn it from him. And also as an introduction, I would say that we, as repenting, meaning from the evil and inclination, unfounded hatred, and rejecting everyone and the whole current situation in humanity and between everyone, to transition to the good inclination, that's called repenting. Instead of being a hater, someone who rejects people, or someone who's indifferent to people, to be good, loving, that's called repenting. So you mean repenting is actually changing my attitude in relationships between people? Yes, exactly. So that means if today we're in a society where we're inconsiderate, and let's say we need to recognize that it's like that. We don't even recognize yet that it's like that. We think it's not so bad. We're not so bad. If I hear what people say in the street, they don't feel, a person doesn't see bad on himself, really. He thinks that he's fine, Like everyone, not everyone can be wrong here. It's impossible that everyone's wrong. So I'm also like this. The people are not wrong. That's the society norms, and it's accepted on everyone. So first of all, we need to understand that actually the repenting is in that we're going back on our bad ways, the bad way we related to everyone, to relate to everyone in a good way. And in this, Jonah needs to help all people. He needs to help them make this transition from the bad attitude to the good attitude. So why did he escape? Because it's hard, because it's impossible, it appears. Because the evil inclination looks so bad. Not media, no governments, no wise people, no philosophers, cultural, educational people. They're just people. Nobody can hear. Nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear what they're saying. That we truly need to shake ourselves up to calculate the sign of soul searching is Yom Kippur. That's traditional. Everyone goes on Yom Kippur. Most people go to the synagogue. There we take part in prayers. We don't know exactly what. But we think that if we all together do this act, then as a result of that, we'll bring some good forces upon ourselves, some good destiny. Yom Kippurim is the symbol of repenting, that we're cleaning ourselves from the bad and we're trying, we cancel the other vows that we took. The people of Neveh take some, they take some accounting for the future and they obligate themselves to be good in the future. There's a very special tradition to read an Haftarah on Yom Kippur, to read the story of Jonah, precisely that story. And it's not for nothing. People don't understand why, but there's another tradition, a very special tradition, that you buy it with a lot of money. Because people say like this, according to tradition, that whoever buys Maftir Yonah, a symbol, will be successful in business. What are the business of a successful person, according to the truth of the Torah? That a person succeeds at the role of Jonah. We forgot about it. But usually, there's competition. Rich people pay a lot of money to buy his role. I hear sometimes that it's millions of dollars. In America, they buy Jonah's role because it's promised that they'll become very rich from that. People don't understand. Excuse me. People don't understand how the success will be measured truly. They think it's in succeeding and making a lot of money, and they don't understand that this role is actually to succeed in a mission, in our mission, the mission of Israel, to save ourselves and the entire world, the same as that great big city, Nineveh, that is drowning in all this bad. So we see how much the wise people arrange these things. We don't even understand where it's from and why. And this is how it's accepted in Israel. It's for material success in this world without understanding the internal part of the story. So what is the story itself? That after after the relations between people in the city of Nineveh reach above all the borders, below criticism, against the general law of nature, of connection and love. What is the significance of shod and gezel, robbing? Humanity is developing according to the law of nature. We see it according to what we're researching, that all of nature is laws. Any subject we look at, chemistry, biology, if we look at it properly around us, we discover a system of laws, how this is connected to that and how that is connected to that, how I bring closer, distance, connect things, what do I get in return? All of our wisdom is from connection, from the connection of all kinds of attributes that come to us from nature. And this is what we learn. In physics, it's between the static materials. In chemistry, it's molecules. In biology, it's alive cells, etc., etc. Macro, micro, but still, this is actually all of science. What is science? It's copying nature. That's what science and technology is. We learn what's happening around us, and we attempt to get some benefit out of it for ourselves, how to use the laws of nature in a way that brings us benefit to our ego. But no matter which way we look at it, humanity is developing by the ego, and we see that there's systematic laws there. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. We see that if we look back, that we see that we went through some process through our egoistic development, and then we're getting closer, more distance from one another. We're living. We don't know why we meet or get distance, or why we have these thoughts or desires suddenly. But altogether, we see that there is some kind of great flow in all of it, and everyone has a place, and this is actually the flow that takes us in this pipe of development. And altogether, this development, if we learn from the development of inanimate, vegetative animate, and add the degree of the human speaking level, that we don't know what's happening, then those first three levels, we see that we're researching nature, that all of nature is attracted toward balance, toward calm. Everything that happens, if we touch any level, all the acts of nature between the particles, the elementary particles, the parts in the galaxy, in the biological and zoological worlds, we see that at the end of the day, everything is reaching some development and being attracted to balance. And here, therefore, we can see that the balance that is missing in nature, that all its parts are going and developing toward balance, toward a certain arrangement between them, apart from humanity. Humanity is developing, it's just dispersing, making a mess. It's as if it's against, in opposition to any rational approach. We eat ourselves, we're eating the planet. We're making the planet dirty. We're blocking ourselves off from good life. We're not capable of arranging our good life between us, not in the family, not towards our children, not towards our parents. In general, it's as if the more we develop, we're becoming more and more opposite to what we need to be. the idea, our idea has to be to reach a balanced, good life. Every year we're more rotten, we create more weapons. It's like we're developing in an opposite manner. So actually, our development is negative. That our entire brain and our power, and it's not like we're capable of stopping it. All of our development is apparently in the bad direction. That we're afraid of tomorrow. And this tomorrow we're doing. And we see all these blows from nature, the hurricanes, tsunamis, the heat, cold. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. That we're also causing. Humanity, with its evil, inclination, is discovering itself as the reason for the entire disaster that's coming toward us and cannot stop itself. And in that case, we need some external force that will bring us to some sort of, that will stop us, that will give us the ability to see this thing. And we also see that this thing is bad, but we have no choice. We're reaching a state, like it's written, that tomorrow we'll die. And so we need a leader like Jonah that can come to us and explain to us what to do. This is the role that he was given. And then you said, Jonah. And then you said that because he said, what's he afraid of? He's afraid that no one will listen to him, right? That nobody will accept what he's saying. So he runs off. He runs off. Let's continue with the story and let's see what we can learn from it. He doesn't just run off. He runs off to the sea. Why does he run off to the sea? Why does he feel that in the sea he'll find an escape? Because it's open. There's no people there. Everyone's angels. Angels is the sailors, it's the same word that's in a ship. He's dependent on their force and the force of the ocean, of the upper force. They all understand that they need to be dependent on one another, that if there's a connection between them, then their safety is completely dependent on the connection between them. It's clear at sea. At sea, there's nothing else. There's no bribery or anything sophisticated. Nothing will help you, but everyone has to be in the same feeling. Everyone has to feel that each one is in the hands of everyone. There's nowhere to escape. Each ship is like a little planet in this little human society, and that's it. Therefore, in opposition to Nineveh, on the ship there's different rules. Even though suddenly they get stuck in a huge storm and they ask themselves, the sailors, why is this happening to us? It's not possible that something bad is happening to us unless on our ship there's someone here that's going against the laws of connection between us. And then they remember that they have this passenger on board, taking a journey in the sea. But it's not out of connection, and it's not possible that there'll be among them some bad, evil force that's inviting the storm, and it's precisely him. There can't be anyone else. So they take him out from the depths of the ship, and they ask him, tell us who you are, what are you, what's going on? And what does he say? I'm the Jewish one. And here it's clear what's happening. Because the Jewish ones, why the Jewish people? It's precisely him that has to bring the correct self-criticism and the correct force to connection. And he's not doing it. And during the storm, when everyone is praying and everyone is begging out of their connection that the storm will pass, he goes down by himself to sleep in the bottom of the ship. Look at this prophet. What do you mean he went to sleep, actually? He's disconnecting from this whole society in the ship. He's disconnecting from all human society. He purposely wants to leave his role, which is very similar to what Israel is doing today, that it is sleeping. Yes, he's sleeping. And he's really sleeping. There's two types of sleeping. Sleeping like God, like it's written in Megillat Esther. One day we'll talk about it. And then it turns out, they really ask him, because it's not possible that it's someone else. They want him to do this self-critique, because to them it's clear what's happening. And he says, yes, the storm is because of me. There's no one else. And they understand it. And he says, throw me to the sea. They are so connected that they don't understand how it's possible to throw a person into the sea. But the minute they throw him out, he tells them to. What does he tell them to? If the moment that humanity is about to drown in the sea, this ship is a symbol of humanity, of society, then he goes back to his mission because he has no choice. Here he's standing before the truth. It's happening because of him. So he's trying to escape all the time from the truth, and suddenly reality caused him to see society in such a state that everyone's going to drown in a second and he's to blame for it. So throw me into the sea and everything will calm down. And really, the minute they threw him into the sea, everything calmed down. And then these sailors, they take upon themselves all kinds of accounting, corrections, missions, tasks. In other words, humanity saves itself in this manner. That what's happening, the story with the fish is, that's like the secrets of the Torah. I don't know how to explain those things. It's a parable, right? It's not a Hollywood story that a person is living in a fish. A fish means that he doesn't have hands or feet. Snappers, it's all kinds of signs. How's he saved? A fish is an animal. It's not really an animal. It's a symbol of something. It's an animal that lives in the water. Water is chesed, compassion, and it lives in water. So Jonah is going through the stages of being strengthened inside the sea. It's like Noah's Ark, that's also similar to that, that it's in water during the flood. And then he becomes strengthened from it and goes out to the seashore and goes to Nineveh and saves the people, and they listen to him, and it all ends in that, in everyone repenting from their bad ways, and they reach a connection and they reach the goal of creation to all be connected as one man with one heart in altruism. I want to focus on the sea. You said before, I asked you, why when he decides that he's escaping from his vocation, he escapes to the sea? You said because the sea is open, it's endless. But you can be saved. There can be a flood and you can be saved. The sea, let's put Jonah on the side. Let's put it on the side for a second. Right now, I just want to talk about the sea. In nature, there's many things that you feel that have power. But there's something, me personally, there's some sensation that the sea is like... It's maybe the most powerful thing in creation. Now it has two opposites. On the one hand, the sea is calm, wholeness, harmony. And on the other hand, suddenly it can turn over and be a total blow. You see this ocean is mad and it calms down, even in this story. What is this thing? What is the story of the sea that contains so much drama? And I don't even know how to express it. You probably feel what I'm asking. What is the sea? What is this power of the sea? And even more than that, I want to ask, what does it symbolize? What does it come to teach us that precisely in this parable of Jonah, it all happens out in the sea. What happens with the sea? There's two things in nature that change quickly through a foreign force. That's air that can be a savior from death, bring you the spirit of life, and it can be a hurricane, a tornado. It can be something that breaks and kills. The same goes for water. Through this foreign force that joins water, water can be pleasant, good, like water in the womb that a person grows up in, the water that we grew up in, that we went into the sea and left the sea in our development, in our evolution. And water like we see it, that can be a tsunami, it can be a situation, and in the future we say, we discover that the ocean can rise up and drown us in its depths. So what's happening here? Also with air, that can be nice and pleasant or very bad. And also the ocean. There can be an ocean that brings life, and it can bring death. It's the addition force to water and air. And this additional force that comes for good or for bad, it depends on a person's deeds. Still remains still. It has this inner force of fire in still, but that's also a story in itself. But from the side of nature, we see these two forces that are always changing and bringing us either life or the opposite, or death. And until today, it's like that. And we can't control them. At the end of the day, the more we advance more toward building a protection against them. We build walls in our house. We build fake climates inside the house. We build big ships or ships that are underwater, submarines, and on. But actually, we're very afraid from changes in nature that are dependent on good or bad forces that happen in air or water. Because water and air, they're actually the two forms that we exist inside. And also now I feel myself that I don't exist in the water. I'm completely dependent on water, upper water, lower water that it says in the Torah. I'm dependent on these oceans that I don't feel. I can live in the middle of the desert, and I don't understand how much I'm dependent on the ocean. That is actually two-thirds of two-thirds of the land. of the earth. It covers. The same goes for the air. These changes in the climate, these pressures, etc. You said, it's very interesting, I don't want you to advance. You said water and air, they can come in good or in bad. And you said that there's this human element that decides whether it will come, nature will come in a good way or a bad way. And each and every day we're beginning to discover this more and more. So now I want to go back to, let's leave the story, and now I want to go back to it from another angle. This parable of Jonah symbolizes that what happened with the sailors, they were so connected that they didn't understand how they could throw someone out into the sea. And Jonah says, there's no choice, you have to throw me out. And immediately through their connection, they understood that someone on the ship is breaking the rules of connection. After they understood everything and it became clear, they still are not capable, they don't have even in their brain a way to understand how to throw someone into the sea. And then they understand they have no choice. They haven't thrown him in yet. They raised him down. They put him down and it calmed down. They lifted him up and it got wild again. And now when you say to me, look, the human factor is here in the middle, I feel that Jonah symbolizes, there's a very important parable that we're here. We don't need to relate all the good or bad to the sea itself. The sea is not good or bad toward us, but it's us. It's the human factor. You said it correctly. We are directly influencing our destiny. We're influencing nature. How did the sailors understood it? They were thousands times smarter than Jonah. He took off from his role. And they, as if they, in some innocent way, in some simple manner, they were sailors at sea, they feel precisely what's happening. How do they have this wisdom that they smell? They smell that there's something wrong here on the ship. Where's this wisdom of life that they have? Where does it come from, these people of the sea? What do they want to show us? That precisely the simple, what are sailors? Really, they're not such a sophisticated people. If you speak to sailors today, it's different. Today it's all technology. But if you, I had a friend, his whole life he was in the ocean. He was at sea, a real captain from the old days. He would speak in a very, they speak in a very special way, sailors. Whoever's at sea all the time and feels the sea and is face to face with the sea, he has an approach to life, approach to the world, to destiny, completely different. How is it different from our approach? He feels that he's facing the upper force. Doesn't matter which nation or religion he belongs to, they have some type of feeling that in this way they're more truthful. It's a story, it's a very special story if we begin the pirates and all those sea people from prehistoric days till today, they have a special connection. And therefore, from their connection that they reach, inside their connection, they feel the power, their power, their mutual power, that each one is willing to do everything for everyone. Otherwise, the ship won't maintain itself. Each person has to be fully dedicating himself to society. And then in this manner, they begin to feel the force above nature, that same general force, that it's as if they have a type of love thy neighbor as thyself, especially in those days, and also today, relatively they feel like it, especially in small ships. The big ships, it's another story. Today it's also the big ships. I have to say that I'm remembering the Titanic, that what caused the drowning there was the very big human ego. The story was the ocean wasn't even roaring at that time. The captain just wanted to get there faster than he was supposed to. The ego was what took the ship apart. What we do have that's very clear in this story is the connection between the sailors. Their moral degree is very, very high. They're loyal to one another. The way they relate to their fellow man, to Jonah. How can we throw someone into the sea? That in human society we're willing to do that, and even a few times a day, one toward the other, and not to take others into consideration at all. And to what extent they also pray, they understand that they're in nature. And they say to Jonah, it's not important who you are, what you are, Jewish or not, pray to your God. Start acting toward the upper force that will help. It means there's some connection in them above all the religions and faiths and everything as humans. And they truly belong to human society. They feel that we're all children of the upper force. And therefore, with pain and no choice, they release him to the sea. It's a story that's entirely a hint of our situation. It's clear what situation we're in, and we have to carry out our role. Let's advance with the story a little bit. Nitsa, where are we? Give us a few more points. Our situation as a people, as the world, what does that mean? Because all of Israel, we're all as Jonah, and we have to carry out this role. We have to be a light unto the nations, meaning all the world is like Nineveh, and we have to approach that same city to humanity also today and not escape our role. And for that, we need, first of all, to carry it out on ourselves and reach being a corrected society. And then we will be as an example to the entire world, what we need to do, what kind of connection we need to reach. And then the world will hear. There's no problem. Our problem is, why can't we convince humanity? We ourselves are still not in a situation where we accept this role on ourselves. It's as if this call from above is there, from nature. We see what is it? All of nature is God. It's already saying to us, we have to carry out our vocation. We have to reach connection. Otherwise, we're getting into chaos, into a true tornado in the whole world that will really turn us around. It's a very dangerous situation, it's clear, and we're escaping precisely as the people of Israel. We're escaping from our role, and it's not from today, and we've already suffered for that a lot throughout history, from our always escaping our role. But today, when the entire world has gotten into this situation of Nineveh, and it's clear to us, on the other hand, that their role is it's big, and we have to implement the correction, love thy neighbor as thyself, first of all here, and then help the entire world. Our situation is truly a situation of the story of Jonah. When we look at society today, Israeli society today, so let's say Jonah, if I do a comparison, Jonah understood his mission, but he wanted to escape from it. That's precisely our situation. But society today, I'm not sure that they're aware. He also apparently wasn't aware of it. Otherwise, he would carry it out. The lack of awareness of his vocation and his he did it out of lack of choice. This role, this fatal role, this lack of awareness is exactly what this story is trying to tell us. It's a situation that we need to find a way out of. What does the story say? That at the end of the day, no matter which way you look, you will have to do it. But look at how this story and problems, you as a people, we're talking about our people as Jonah, you will be thrown into the sea, you will escape in a ship. Afterwards, from the ship, you will have to, in a very dangerous manner, you'll have to get back to the shore and look for Nineveh and find a path and still convince them and correct them. And then you'll reach this situation. And at the end of the day, what does God say to you? See how much you saved the souls? And what a good job you did. And how can I leave this? In other words, you wanted to escape, and I can't escape from it. In other words, the law of nature, which is God, it still shows here his direction. That this goal has to happen, and we will have to implement it out of lack of choice, even if we run away. But the path of suffering that we are on at the moment, that we've chosen instead of the good path, the correction path, is bringing us to the same role out of lack of choice and through great suffering. I would like us to look at another aspect of this parable of Jonah, the issue of judgment compared to compassion. When Jonah looks at Nineveh, he says, you couldn't find a bigger mess to find me to. You're giving me the worst place on earth. Describing the Hamas there, that city that symbolizes the Hamas, go tell them that you have to correct your ways. It's like a mission impossible. So it's no wonder that Jonah says, it's too big for me. There's no way to succeed. And he apparently, in his escape, he's expressing that there's no possibility that where the relations there are the worst on earth, there's no way to transform it to good. And we see how when the whole story turns around, they do transition to good. Jonah's looking at in a sharp way, in a realistic manner, and he's saying, from this terrible society, nothing good can come out of it. And there's nothing to go and tell them, do this, do that. This is your last chance to correct yourselves. It's impossible to correct such a thing. He looks at it in the straight way. And we see that the story turns around just the opposite, and precisely from the place of a bit of sympathy. And even though it looks lost, he got another chance. They really do repent from their ways, etc. Now, the stubbornness of Jonah to look at life in such a precise way, and it's impossible against the compassion of the sailors of God on Jonah, and across from this soft and the way that Nineveh accept him and do what he says. There's many things here apart from him. Everyone apart from him. He's not just the most pessimistic. He's demanding from others what he doesn't demand from himself. When the ship is about to drown and everyone's dealing with talking to the upper force and nature, he goes to sleep. He continues to escape. He demands from the bad people of Nineveh, he's like, no, there's no way they can be saved. He has no compassion for them, and he himself behaves the opposite. What do the wise people want to show us in this story with this character of Jonah so full of conflicts? I don't even know how to explain it. It's really negative. What did they want to show us? God chose him to be a prophet, to be the corrector, to be the one arranging things, to bring the world to all good. And he What is he missing to implement his role? It's a lack of connection. Lack of connection with the upper force. In other words, he doesn't believe. He doesn't believe in his vocation. He disregards it. He's dealing with something that he thinks it can just go on and whatever happens will happen. It's to teach others. He himself, Jonah, doesn't have an awareness of the power of love, the connection of altruism. If he would discover the power, this power that there is in connection, he would go carry it out. Because we see that this entire storm wouldn't reach a ship if it wasn't for Jonah. The sailors themselves were in such a connection that they wouldn't ever cause such a storm. The storm is the sea is a world, the world of sailors. The sailors, the ship, the sea. We have humanity that if it's entirely connected, everything is good and pleasant. The ship is complete, it's inside the beautiful, complete sea, and everything is fine. And from Jonah, inside this entire situation, Jonah is causing bad. And the people of Israel, if it doesn't carry out its role at a time when it's obligated to implement it, and you will be an empire of priests, that we have to reach the correction of the world, and it depends on us. And all the nations of the world are punishing, are pointing a finger at us, that we must, that all their problems are dependent on us, that we're causing all the problems in the world. We should listen to what they're saying. It's worth it for us to see why it's happening like this and not hide and escape to the sea, because it won't help. We have to implement our role. We think everything's fine in our city in Nineveh. It's not okay. It's really not good. We must arrange ourselves and also give an example to the entire world. Otherwise, the accounting will be first and foremost with us and the worst days in history. And this we also see from other prophets. Stories that warn us of the future. We say that this story is fascinating, but our time is almost up. I would like you to. We spoke about a lot of things, the nature controlling us, the connection between people, vocation. If in the minute that we have left, can you summarize the actual wisdom for our time that we need to take as Israeli society, as individuals, and as a society? What can we learn from this parable of Jonah and this whole story? We need to understand that we're a special people, a people of prophets, that we have a special force, and everyone talks about this. We need to reach connection, the first connection in all of humanity. We have a method for this, how to do it. We lived and existed according to this method, love thy neighbor as thyself. And up until 2,000 years ago, we need to go back and implement the method and show it and teach it to the entire world, because the entire world today is demanding it, and without us, they will not be able to reach it, but they will come to us with demands, and truly with a tough demand to us, in order for us to carry out our role. Therefore, the faster we begin connecting between us, don't do unto your friend as you wouldn't want unto yourself, love thy neighbor as thyself, we will reach a state that the entire world will also come to this corrected state. That's it. Time is now, and here in Israel, for the time has come to implement it. We have to, each of us, hear the story of Jonah and take it, not once a year on Yom Kippur, but rather we really need to do it as self-accounting and begin working on it. The mitzvah, love thy neighbor as thyself, is the big law of the Torah. This is the entire Torah. And that's what we have to carry out. Thank you very much, Rav Lyman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. We will make the sea calm. It depends on us. New life. All the best. So long.